The older of my two sons, Chris, is a karate black belt, Wadaru style. He's not only a black belt, he is a third Dan black belt, and he's also a karate instructor. I once asked him the following question. Out of every 100 students who enroll in karate classes, how many eventually achieve black belt status? His answer astonished me. At least 3, but not more than 5. Now, from the instructor's point of view, that is a failure rate of 95 to 97%. I mean, are karate instructors really that bad? What is going on? I mean, you are not going to enroll in karate classes with the ambition of becoming a green or a blue belt, are you? Everyone who enrolls dreams of putting on that coveted black belt, of becoming the sort of person that other people don't mess with, a person others don't pick a fight with, right? And what's more, people don't normally enroll for karate classes if they are seriously disabled. So what is going wrong for so many of them? Chris's answer to that question surprised me, but it shouldn't have. Hardly anyone just decides to quit, he told me. What happens is they just drift away. It's winter, and they don't feel like turning up for training in a freezing cold gym. It's summer, far too hot for a training session. There's a Champions League match on tonight. I'll give training a miss. Just this once. They pick up an injury which prevents them from training for 3 or 4 weeks. They never intend to drop out. They miss a session or 2 or 3, and they never come back. You can always tell the ones who are going to make it, Chris told me. They are the ones who never miss. They turn up even if they're injured and unable to train. Why? Because they want to be around students whose commitment is as strong as theirs. They might not be the fittest, the strongest students, but their commitment will see them all the way to first Dan and beyond. And what is more, they know when they enroll that achieving black belt is a 3 to 6 year process. The instructor's success rate may appear to be dreadful, but he gets 100% of his students to black belt who are committed to getting there. And the instructor is committed to that sort of student, however long it may take. Now, as an instructor myself, I don't even keep a record of my own success rate. I can't put a figure on it, even if you ask me. But I can tell you it is dismally low. You see, I have lost count of the number of schools where I have been asked to give 1 15-minute assembly talk, a 1-lesson workshop, or take part in a mock interview session with no follow-up, in expectation that such activities with no measurable outcome are going to make a difference to the career prospects of their students. I have met parents who seriously believe that I will be able to transform the career prospects of their son or daughter by spending half an hour with them. Now look, I'm sorry to say this, but I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. I mean, I'm good, but I'm not that good. I don't know anybody who's that good. Nothing works like that. Nothing worthwhile is ever achieved microwaved. Career guidance is best delivered in drip-feed fashion over a sustained period and with regular follow-up. to ensure that what the instructor has shared is making sense to the student and that the tips they can put into practice are actually working for them. Anything you never attempted before is unlikely to work the first time you try it. That's why you crashed the first time you got on a bike. And it wasn't a reflection on the competence of the person who was trying to teach you or your own level of motivation. It's just that's how you learn anything new. Anything you are good at today, I guarantee, was something you were once very bad at. So this week's tip from the coach who rocks is simply this. If you want to get good at developing an effective career strategy, make sure you do the following two things. Firstly, commit to a long-term approach. And secondly, find a coach who encourages you and who is going to commit to you until you do make it. That's the secret.